Okay, we'll resume with Stanford coach David Shaw. The Cardinal are off this weekend, returning to action on Thursday, November 7th, with a home game against Oregon. Coaches online, we'll go ahead and take questions.
To ask a question, press star 1. Your first question comes from the line of Ted Miller, ESPN.com.
David, how has Trent Murphy improved his game compared to last year?
I think he's stronger, a year wiser, and especially in our defense. But I think the big thing is that he's just worked on more specific pass rush moves. You know, he this offseason he wanted to expand his repertoire, so to speak. So he's gotten really good at his speed rush, his bull rush, just running right at guys, but then also his inside moves. Because to be a really good pass rusher, you have to have all three of those. You know, go over the top, go through the man, and then go back underneath and inside. So he's done a great job of working on his skill set. Not to mention, I think Coach Mason does a great job of including him in some of those games and stunts to have him be the guy that has a chance to come free. And he's been doing great all year.
I'm sure a lot of your NFL buddies have called you and asked you stuff about him. What do they ask about when they ask about Trent?
They're intrigued by his versatility. You know, some of them are looking at him as a guy that can play an open defensive end. Some of them look at him as a strong side base end to play on the outside shoulder of a tackle. And some of them look at him as a 3-4 outside linebacker, as like what we're doing, whether it's strong side or weak side. So I think just the ability that he can play different positions and then also be a defensive end or linebacker in a nickel, then drop or pass rush, and just being able to show all that gets them excited, because he can do all of it at 6'6 and almost 260 pounds.
And still talking about defense, I know that you guys probably haven't completely engaged your whole Oregon game film process, but how does Nick Aliotti's defense this year compare to last year?
One thing I'll say is they're missing three dynamic football players in Akiko Alonso, who we said last year we thought was the best defensive player in our conference and turned out to be one of the best in the NFL. Michael Clay was a phenomenal football player, and then Deion Jordan. And the crazy part is, they, without those outstanding players, the defense as a whole looks better. They're fast, they're big. And one thing that, you know, we tried to do on our defensive side is have guys with length. And they've got 6'4", 6'5", and 6'6", guys, and one 6'7", guy all along that front. And the holes that are there, they close up very quickly in the running game. And pass rush-wise, I mean, they're great athletes. And it's a different scheme than most 3-4 teams, so it's a little bit takes some getting used to prepare for it. But the combination of what Coach Aliotti does with those guys and then their abilities, it just makes it hard to move the ball.
And finally, you have this extra time to prepare with a bye. Do you already sense at this point that there's a pretty high level of anticipation among your players and your fans and some electricity about this game coming up on the 7th?
Yeah, we know that that's going to be there. This week really isn't about that, because we've got to get some guys healthy. We've got to you know, take a little bit of room. We've been going nonstop since August. So, you know, we got to turn the dial down for a few days here, and then we'll get it ramped up again. But the guys know what the game's going to be about. It's going to be a loud stadium, packed crowd, you know, national TV, and an intense game. And that we know that's down the road, but we'll ramp it up slowly.
Do you have an update on Henry Anderson? Does he have a chance to play?
He does. I'm not going to make that judgment on just we're going to be on the field just today and tomorrow, but really starting Saturday – and Sunday, when we really get into the game planning, if he can do some things, then he'll have a chance to play. But we're still going to do some individual drills with him just this week, just getting him ready. His knee is strong, and we'll see if he can do all the things that we're going to need him to do on game day.
Great. Thank you.
Sure.
Your next question comes from Kyle Hensing, Turner.
Coach, with the veterans you have coming through the program that started with Coach Harbaugh there, and how important has it been to have that that continuity with you taking over when Coach Harbaugh did leave for the NFL?
It was huge, huge to have as many guys as possible, you know, coaching wise at first to stay here in order to continue the progression that we started laying in 2007. And it's hard to do that if you weren't here and you didn't see how we got to where we were. You know, I think a lot of people could have come in and had success right off the bat with the team that was here. But I think the fact that our guys that stayed here, that had the continuity, that understood how we got where we were, there are a lot of mistakes that could have been made that we didn't make because we knew our guys. We didn't go over the top with some of the guys we thought really good football players. We stayed in their comfort zone so they could be productive. I think continuity is huge, and continuity going forward is always huge, which is why we've tried to pay our coaches better. We've got on-campus housing to keep the coaches here for as long as we can.
Thank you.
Your next question comes from John Gold, Arizona Daily Star.
Coach, you have extensive experience in the NFL and college football. What's the biggest difference in how you treat bye weeks between the two?
That's a really good question. I think the NFL bye week, of course, depending on when it happens, if it happens late in the year, you know, these are older guys. You want to get them off their feet. You want to get them away from football, get them away from the coaches for a while to let their minds refresh. If it's early, you don't get them away as much, but you still need that downtime. College-wise, you want the guys to get off their legs, but at the same time, you don't want to them to be away from you for too long because, you know, all those experiences and all the knowledge they've gained, they have so many things going on with school and their personal lives, et cetera, that you don't want to lose whatever momentum or whatever you build upon. Because when you take too much time off, then you have to go back and reteach things. Whereas if you take a little bit of time off, they'll have a better memory recall and you stay in rhythm when you start up playing again.
Is the timing of the bye week, I mean, obviously coming before the big matchup is important. Is that something that you kind of circle on your calendar well in advance, or does it almost take you by surprise?
The schedule, of course, is not up to us. It's up to the conference
and
the TV people. But we wait and see where it is, and I've got a pretty good bye week schedule that I tinker with every year. Last year was early, so it was a little bit different. We didn't have as much time off. This year it's a little bit later. We've got a lot of guys beaten up, so we're going to take 2 days off in a row, Thursday and Friday, before we start back up on Saturday. So whereas last year we would have taken 1 day off here and 1 day off there, this year we're taking 1 day off early in the week and then 2 more days off late in the week just to get our bodies refreshed because we've played a lot of football already.
Yeah. And what's a bye week like for you? Forget the players, but for you.
The biggest thing for me is I don't allow dinner to be served in the coaches' offices to make the coaches go home. because we don't have a game this week, and, you know, it's good for guys to get home and see their wives and their kids for dinner. We don't have any early morning meetings, so guys can see their kids off to school. We try to take the edge off to a certain degree. We'll still come in and get our work done, kicking the coaches out of the office also on Thursday for Halloween, have a chance to see their kids trick-or-treat. So I'm forcing myself and the coaches to have some downtime. We'll still get some recruiting done late in the week on Friday, but we'll get back Saturday ready to roll.
Great. Thanks, Coach.
The next question comes from Kirk Cragthorpe, Salt Lake Tribune.
Of course, the last two games, and even going back to the fourth quarter of the Utah game, your defense really has been outstanding. Can you pinpoint what clicked or just what you're doing better since then?
I think there's two things. I think Coach Mason's done a really good job of making some minor adjustments, and it's about the players. It's about getting them in position to make plays, getting them in position where they're comfortable and where they can play fast and react quickly. But at the same time, I think really since, you know, we did not play that well early in that Utah game, Since the beginning of that fourth quarter, I think our defense has played with an edge that we're used to playing with around here. Led by Trent Murphy and Shane Scove and Jordan Richards and Ed Reynolds, those guys. AJ Tarpley has been phenomenal. I think he gets overshadowed, but he's been phenomenal these last few weeks. But it's the mentality of those guys that have played a lot of football that are setting the standard higher. They've just set the standard higher, their standard of play, their standard of effort. And it's been great, and it's won us the last two games.
Thank you.
Sure.
Got time for one more question?
Your final question comes from Austin Meek, Register Guard newspaper.
David, the challenge for Mark Helfrich at Oregon this year is similar to the challenge you had a couple years ago and taking over for somebody who was very successful. What's the balance between not wanting to mess with a good thing but also wanting to implement your philosophy and do things your way?
Well, Mark and I talked about that. Actually, we talked about it a couple times, and I think he's done it perfectly, which is you have to completely take your ego out of it. You have to take that thing out of it where so many people from the outside say, how are you going to make this your program? And you look at it and say, this is not my program, it's the kids' program. And every decision you make is what's best for the kids. And if the scheme is great, who cares if they call it Chip Kelly's scheme or Jim Harbaugh's scheme or whoever, it doesn't matter. If the things that work, you don't change them. The things that don't work, you take them out, And you look at your personnel and say, okay, here's how we can tweak this and get this better for this guy. Hey, Marcus Mariota does this well. Let's make sure that he gets a chance to do this. And so the rest of it is really just making smart football decisions and putting guys in position to make plays. And so he's done it flawlessly.
Thanks.
All right, that'll do it. David, thanks for your time today, and enjoy the day off.
I appreciate it. Can I just add one more thing? I didn't get the direct question, so I was waiting to see if anybody was going to ask it. But I do want to make the announcement that that Ben Gardner will miss the remainder of the season with a left pec injury. Will not be back in time for the bowl game. One of our team captains will not finish the season.
Okay. Sorry to hear about the injury, and wish him best.
Appreciate it.
All right. Thanks, David.
Thank you. Bye.
Okay. See you.